views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers.
You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.
You're listening to Kathy is In with Kathy DeBono.
Welcome back to Kathy is In. I'm watching Jill work very gingerly some buttons on the board and nothing working. What's happening over there, honey?
The buttons are reversed. I don't know what's going on today.
I see. So welcome back, you guys. If you were with us last week and you were listening to Vipin Mata, metaphysical and spiritual counselor, we adored him and we asked him to come back this week because this week we're going to be talking about schizophrenia. And I've always wanted to ask a skilled metaphysician what they thought of schizophrenia through that perspective, because we can talk about it through Western medicine, through the brain and the organic causes of it and suspicions of it. Nobody really has definite answers for it or definite answers for how to help it or cure it. All we can really do is manage it with drugs and therapy. But Vipin will be here to talk to us about how to look at it through a different perspective, through the perspective of metaphysics. So I'm really excited about that. But before we get to that, Jill and I are just going to sort of hang out and warm up with you guys.
We're going to hang out.
Yeah, I am really tired of not being able to breathe.
Yeah, it's sort of been this ongoing process.
I don't know if it's because we moved to the valley of L.A. or what. I know L.A. has horrible, horrible air quality. Mm-hmm. I've always had horrible allergies. And I mean, ever since I was born, I've had problems with respiratory allergies and stuff like that. But we moved to the valley last November. We love our house. We love everything about it, except I haven't been able to breathe since. Which is kind of annoying.
No, it's really annoying, and I can tell it's getting to you.
It's gotten to me a long time ago.
I think we need to start isolating things, though, to figure out what it is.
I don't know.
I know. You don't want
to
do that.
I think we need to isolate me.
Yeah.
Put me in a bubble. Anyway, so, all right. What are we talking about today? What do we got? Oh, are we going to tell them about our little test drive we did the other day?
Yes. So, for a little backstory. For many, many years been leasing cars because it's nice to drive a new car and it's very comfortable. And I think I'm ready to get back into that situation again.
Yeah, I'm from a family where my dad, not only was he a cop, but he had two full-time jobs his whole life. And his other job was selling cars.
Mm-hmm.
And he was one of those honest to a fault kind of guys is how my mom would describe him. But he would buy and sell used cars. And he just thought leasing, his theory, lifelong theory, was leasing was a big ruse. You pay all this money and you end up with nothing at the end of it. The car companies get the car back. They get all your money and they get the car back. So it's been something I never grew up even thinking about.
I know, but that way of thinking is wrong. It's
my dad would slap you.
Well, your dad, okay, you know what you know what you're buying? You're buying peace of mind. You're buying a car that you don't have to repair or fix daily.
Yes, I understand.
Ford, well, fix or repair daily.
True, but you know, in my dad's world, he had all those guys.
Okay, yes,
you know?
But we don't.
Right.
And we both drive older
models. He knew those guys,
model,
his buddies, he grew up with them. They,
right.
You know, so that wasn't something he had to.
I understand that, but yeah. We don't have that. And now we are being nickel and dimed by these stupid repairs every month. It's either your car or my car that breaks down. And we end up spending $300 or $400 on a 12-year-old car. And my head's going to explode
if it happens
one more time.
So Jill's been doing some research on affordable leases,
yes,
that we could share. So we could keep one car, which would be my CRV with the brand new radiator. It would be our CRV. We would keep it. We'd get rid of your car and we would share a lease of a new car. So we'd have something reliable,
right,
to get us from A to B if it was farther away than, say, like 4 or 5 blocks.
Yeah, I know. Well, here's the other thing is our friends invite us to like go to Big Bear or to Vegas and we're like, we can't go in our car because one of our cars will probably break down on the way.
Yeah.
So we need a car that we know can make it, you know, a couple hundred miles in each direction.
Yeah. So for those of you who don't know, I just want to point out the following thing before we get into this next little piece of it. Jill is what, 5'5", 5'4", tall, mm-hmm, inches tall?
I'm 5'5", you should know that. We are engaged.
Why? Your height is not really vital statistics. You're shorter than me. That's what I know for sure.
Okay. Most people are shorter than you.
I'm 6 feet tall.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm 6 feet tall, and so that gives you some sort of perspective on what we're talking about when we talk about test driving the Fiat Pop. First of all, the car is called a pop. I mean, this whole idea, okay, my brain says you're on the right track. All of my instincts and all of my old, like, dad ingrained, you know, messages are running through my head, first of all, about leasing a car. Secondly, a Fiat Pop. We got to the dealership and I thought it looked like a little clown car. Thank you. And I said to Jill, I'm going to look like a weird giant in this car.
But you didn't. You got in and I went out and got on the other side and looked at you, and you did not look like a weird giant. You looked like an Italian sitting in an Italian car.
Well, see, I just think you're using psychology on me.
No, I'm not. I wouldn't dare do that.
Well, you turn around and you look at the back seat. Well, they say there's two seats back there, but right. Unless you are traveling with a couple of little people or people under the age of 7, they're really not going to be very comfortable.
I got in the back seat and it was fine.
It's, well, like, not, I said, little people.
Okay.
Give me a boom-cha on that.
Most people are my size. So, and it's not like we're going to be volunteering our car to take a caravan anywhere. This is like, it's for us and to take a couple of carry-on bags. It's the whole idea.
Yes, I understand. I understand.
I know.
Of course, I was looking around in the back going, will Comet fit back there? Because, you know, Comet and me, we go together.
Yeah.
And what I liked about this car is that you could take the back seats clean out of it.
Yes.
And then just put the back down. So it's a two-seater car with sort of a hatchback-ish type thing, but it doesn't look like a hatchback. I'm not explain it.
Right. It's actually super cute. It's really safe. And
anyone out there got a Fiat Pop? Tweet me. Let me know if there's any reasons why we should or shouldn't get it, why you love it or why you hate it.
It's got really good gas mileage.
Yes.
And it's small. And it's the most importantly, it's fuel efficient, which I'm thinking in, you know,
important.
2 to 3 years when gas is above $5 a gallon, you'll be thanking me.
Well,
that
we spend hundreds of dollars on gas every month already. I mean, there's just certain things that, you know, and this is one of them. There's certain truths that I've just sort of given into and long since forgotten that I could do anything about because I haven't been able to even think about a new car.
I understand, but my reasoning is, okay, we know we have to pay for gas. Do we also have to keep paying for repairs every single month?
No, I get it.
Between the two of us, we have probably spent close to $1,600 in the last couple of months repairing our stupid old cars.
No, I get it. It's totally a mental block for me. Like I told you, how I grew up, we never had a brand new car. We always had decent, you know, my dad got my mom a decent car. We all had a decent car. No one ever had a brand new car. It was kind of like something just the rest of the world did. You know, it was never something I ever considered doing. And when I sat in it and we smelled the new car smell, I just feel like a fish out of water. So for me, it's just about wrapping my mind around a different approach.
Yeah, you have to, and it is a mental block for you. I think it's like, you know,
well,
even
that
though,
and the clown car.
Okay, yeah, well, we don't have to get the Fiat, but I think it's, you know, for the money.
The
and
the deal that we can even think of affording right now.
Well, there's a couple of other cars that are in that range, but I'm like, if we're really going to go for the, you know, saving gas, that's the best. You know, that's the best one.
Okay.
And I like that it's small.
Well, I wanted to ask our listeners out there, who has one? What do you think of it? What should we do? how much time do we have left before commercial here?
3 minutes.
3 minutes? So we were just going to touch real quick. Okay, so when we come back, we will introduce why we're talking about schizophrenia today. There's a really weird serendipitous tie-in with a fellow host here at LA Talk Radio, which I just thought was fascinating. And we were going to spend some time going over this whole Sandusky thing, right? But do we have time for this?
No. Well, I mean, we have a little bit of time to get into it really quickly.
The thing we wanted to point out was his defense was histrionic personality disorder. So why don't you catch us up real quick with what the Sandusky case
is? Okay. Unless you've been living under a rock, Jerry Sandusky was the assistant coach of the Penn State football team. And he was just recently convicted of 45 counts of child molestation, basically, which is a nice word for rape. His defense tried to mount this personality disorder stuff.
Which quite frankly, just as a psychotherapist, a personality disorder, yes, is a disorder. It does not indicate that you don't know the difference between right and wrong. So I don't know how they ever used that as a defense.
Well, so the definition, according to the ADAM medical encyclopedias, histrionic personality disorder is a condition in which people act in a very emotional and dramatic way that draws attention to themselves. Symptoms include acting or looking overly seductive, being easily influenced by others, being overly dramatic, and needing to be the center of attention.
Okay, basically, that's about 80% of our friends here in Hollywood.
I was like, I just about said anybody on a reality show.
seriously, when you talk about a personality disorder specifically, you're talking about your ego functions, the part of you that has your personality that moves through the world making its decisions. You're talking about a person's personality. It does not include delusions of not knowing the difference between right and wrong, which is the only kind of insanity play you can use in court that I understand.
Well, and all, by the way, he also said through this entire process that he was completely innocent. Like he did not cop to any of this. And he, of course, did not take the stand because he was guilty. But his wife, his wonderful wife, Dottie, defended him and said that she has never seen anything that would lead her to believe that he did any of these things, even though their own adopted son said he also raped him. So,
of course, a man like that would get involved with young boys in sports and adopt a son.
Yeah.
And his wife never knew.
No, his wife, as far as I'm concerned, his wife should be locked up and have the key thrown away along with him.
These kinds of women are fascinating to me. I don't know if they actually successfully block out any kind of radar that would tell them something is wrong with their relationship or with their husband, or if they actually just choose to pretend. I mean, both are possible.
No, they're both absolutely possible. But again, you know, we got into this with very little time. I think this is a subject we could easily get into.
Well, yeah, I just wanted to comment. Histrionic personality disorder. First of all, that's about 80-90% of our friends here in Hollywood. Secondly, it doesn't mean you don't know the difference between right from wrong. It just means you're sort of a character. So we're going to take a break right now. When we come back, we're going to talk about schizophrenia through a metaphysical perspective with Vipin Mata.
Blogspot.com is a topic-oriented language translation service. Our translators are highly qualified and experienced in a wide variety of subjects, including legal, medical, technical, financial, and more. Languages include English, Spanish, Italian, French, and many others. If you can't find the language you're looking for, please contact us. We offer personalized quotes tailored to your needs and budget. Go to blogspot.com and get your free quote today. That's BLAGASPOT.com. Blogspot. We're up to interpretations.
Affirmative Athletics, a Freedom Assembly project, is a nonprofit sports and literacy program that positively affirms incarcerated children. By creating a culture centered around strong values of dignity, integrity, respect, and honor, Affirmative Athletics helps mold these young children into responsible and emotionally stable young adults. Find out how you can help. Visit us at www.affirmativeathletics.org. Affirmative Athletics, affirming minds, bodies, and souls of today's youth.
Licensed psychotherapist Kathy DeBono now offers her services through private sessions over secure online video chat or voice-only phone calls if you prefer. You can even choose to use instant messenger or email exchange. Go to KathyIsIn.com to learn more about licensed psychotherapist Kathy DeBono and how she and her unique brand of intuitive counseling can help you achieve the change you want to see in your life. KathyIsIn.com.
Welcome back, everyone. Is my mic up?
Yes.
Actually, I can't hear myself. Oh, my God, I've gone deaf. Oh,
no,
okay.
Your mic is up.
welcome back, everyone. So why are we talking about schizophrenia today? Well, Jill and I were hanging out on our big, large, gray, narcoleptic couch. And watching
TV.
And we were watching TLC, which Jill likes to call the perspective channel.
It really is the perspective channel. Anytime you think your life is bad, watch that channel.
Watch TLC.
And you'll feel better.
It's the learning channel. They had a documentary on there called Born Schizophrenic. And it followed the story of this little girl named Jannie, who was diagnosed as a schizophrenic very young in life, like as a child, like 4 years old.
Six.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, they started noticing signs of things and figuring things out. But by the age of six, she was diagnosed. This is very rare. Usually the diagnosis of schizophrenia happens in late adolescence, early adulthood. And it's usually more prevalent in men than in women. And So this family, this mom and this dad, they had this little girl, and it was following their story of how they adapted their lives to take care of this little girl. And then they had a little boy, and they had to live in two separate apartments in the same complex so that the little girl wouldn't be violent with the little boy, because she had psychotic breaks and she didn't know, you know, she's very psychotic. If you watch this documentary, this little girl really has symptoms like full blast. So
they said that when kids are schizophrenic at that age, it's 20 to 30 times worse than in adults.
Oh, if you watch this documentary, you could look it up online or wherever. It's the Learning Channel. Her name is Jani, J-A-N-I. It's horrible. I mean, she's constantly hallucinating. She sees numbers around her that have anthropomorphic qualities. They have a personality. They talk to her. Sometimes they tell her to do bad things. She sees animals. They're all named. They have names of like numbers and days of the week, which I find fascinating. Like, how did that happen in that little girl's mind? And then Bodhi, her little brother, at the age of about two or three, started showing signs and crying that the numbers were getting him.
They haven't diagnosed him. They think he's autistic. I don't think that they've diagnosed
him with autism, but right. He hallucinates and sees numbers that scare him.
Right.
At part two of this documentary, so I don't know where they're at now.
Well, the doctors also said that she hallucinates 95% of her waking day.
Yeah.
95%.
That poor baby. I mean, so when you look at, I could get into all the, you know, symptoms of schizophrenia and what it is. Schizophrenia, first I want to say this, is not a multiple personality disorder. This is a very common misconception in our country. I don't know, maybe in the world. Schizophrenia is not the disorder of multiple personalities. That disorder is called DID, dissociative identity disorder. And it is where the person basically takes on a different personality, and there's different personalities that live inside one person's cognitive mind that take turns
in order to help them deal with trauma.
Right, and this happens, it happens as a psychological split to deal with trauma. It happens for different reasons. Schizophrenia, while the German term, and Vipin and I were just talking about this, and I read this last night, schizophrenia is a German term that means a splitting of the mind. And what they meant by that was it is a splitting of the mind functions, emotional, cognitive, all of the mind functions, not a splitting of the personalities. So while they hallucinate auditorily and visually, other people, objects, animals, numbers in the case of these children that have personalities and are very real to them, they are not splitting into that identity. That is a separate disorder. Mm-hmm. So I just wanted to make that really clear, because we've often heard the word schizophrenia and people believe it to be the multiple personality disorder, and that's not what it is. So anyway, after we had Vipin on last week and then we saw this documentary we were watching, I really was wishing he was sitting on the narcoleptic couch next to us so I could say, Vipin. We hear Western medicine talk about this all the time in terms of the research they're doing into the organic problems, the brain problems of the brain matter. You know, the frontal lobe, the prefrontal cortex, they talk about it being too much dopamine, too much serotonin, causing these hallucinations. And again, everything is basically, you know, 50% accuracy. They have no real solid answers, but it has something to do with the frontal lobe and dopamine and neurotransmitters. And all of that stuff is very, very valid and needs to be talked about. But how do we understand this through a metaphysical perspective of the mind, and that, not the brain, the organic brain, but the mind, the cognitive functions of the mind? And I'm so excited to welcome back metaphysical counselor, spiritual counselor, Vipin Mata, to give us his points of view on that. Welcome, Vipin.
Thank you very much for having me on your radio show.
We are so happy to have you.
We loved listening to you. Like, we just sat as you were speaking and we were looking at each other, and I love
you.
You
are of my people, Vipin.
Yes.
Okay.
Like, I don't know what that
means. Okay.
So Vipin, if someone were to ask you through a metaphysical perspective to explain to them the condition of schizophrenia, what might you say?
Okay, let me start gradually with the modalities of healing. Then we go to the metaphysical perspective.
Sure.
There are basically, I will go very briefly so we cannot consume more time. The basic, one of the earliest modality of healing is a primitive healing, like in Amazon jungle. And you might, since you live in Hollywood, Medicine Man movie was there. The second type of modality is called faith healing, which we in Orlando area, we had many years ago, Benny Hinn was a faith healer, and many, not many, but very few churches, they do the faith healing. And still I remember 15 years ago, I saw the movie, and that movie name is Leap of Faith. Probably you may be remembering. And that came from the one of the Orange County in Florida. We had a church where they were practicing faith healing. Mm-hmm. Then evolution continued, and Hippocrates came, and then anatomy started of the human body, and then gone for the last 2,000 years, and every year progress. And they anatomy went further, and then used the anatomy, and then the biochemistry and physiology of human body. And that science is tremendously progressed in 20th century because of the MRI, and that science we call conventional medicine, especially in America. They are obsessed with the conventional medicine. That's why the cost is so high. I'm just using my little bit side joke, okay?
Well, you're right about that. You are right about that.
And right, because of they call actual word is allopathic healing. They're using the outsources, other resources to heal the person.
Yes.
And because they think, unfortunately, human being is a human body. Human being is not only human body, it's much more than human body.
Yes.
The allopathic science has tremendously progressed, especially America and the Western world. But at the same time, they have a limitation. They can maximum go up to the physical body, and most important part of physical body is human brain. But still is within the physics, within the space-time dimension. Metaphorically, human brain, physical body is like a PC computer, personal computer, and human brain is a central processing unit. And where they deal, schizophrenia, they deal with all kind of chemistry, and they use the common name chemical imbalance. But when they talk the term chemical imbalance, that is human chemistry, okay? And that is how the human chemistry was. But there is beyond human chemistry, there is another chemistry. For example, if you ask any medical science, they cannot figure it out, the endocrine system release different kind of hormones. And that chemistry that is beyond the reach of the physical chemistry. Let us call it the metaphysical chemistry or the occult chemistry. Another word is called occult chemistry, but let me call metaphysical chemistry. That is beyond reach of the physical science and physical chemistry also. There is a maximum limit in some last 40 years since Sigmund Freud came, they opened the branch of psychiatry and psychology. And now the psychiatry made more and more advanced because they poured tons of money for research and that. And last 40 years, they come up so many ideas and so much medicines and everything for bipolar and monopolar and schizophrenia, and they experimenting with the human brain. But they forgot. I just completed 6 months ago understanding of the human brain course by neuroscientists. But their limitation is only brain. They cannot conceive there is something beyond the brain, because human being is not only physical body. There is another body we have that is allopathic, and that was covered up and everything we are obsessed with. There is no way. We have to think outside the box and find out other way of healing. Then another way of healing is called modality, called balancing the energy. Because beyond physical body, there is the energy body is there. Suppose when Catherine born, first she breathed and the life started, then she cried. Then Kathy, when at the age of 100 years, you want to live 100 years and ready to take off, the physician will declare you dead when you stop breathing. So breath is the one which brings the life energy. The breath is always there from the birth to the end. There is no breath, there is no life. There is no life, there is no Kathy.
Right.
That is called life energy body. And acupuncture, acupressure, which has come from China, they deal with the second layer of body called energy body. They call meridians, and they do acupuncture and pressure put on the feet, pressure at some points in the legs, at some points in the hands and the ears. They can connect some, change the organ function. And I've gone through that, and I was healed by my sciatica was healed by acupuncture. There's second layer of body. There is the fourth modality of balancing. the energy system. That include acupressure, acupuncture, reflexology, kinesiology, Reiki. You must be knowing what Reiki. Yeah. That is from Japan. And pranic healing, that come from India. Pran means life energy. Breathing. If you go in a yoga class, they teach you how to breathe. And the, how to create the rhythmic breathing and how to breathe deep. Deep breathing, so you change the pattern of the brain and so pattern of the mind also. Then now got a new healing is coming in market, which we call crystal healing, which I am working right now. There is another healing we call solar healing. If you go solarhealing.com, that is created by my office. Okay?
Solarhealing.com?
You will find out all information, how to gaze the sun first year hours in the morning and take the sun rays, and sun rays goes inside the brain and especially change the satiety of the hypothalamus. Then we go a little bit of brain now. Okay,
Vipin, can I ask you to hold for one moment? We have to break for a commercial, but we'll be right back in 2 minutes with more Vipin Mehta.
Affirmative Athletics, a Freedom Assembly Project, is a nonprofit sports and literacy program that positively affirms incarcerated children. By creating a culture centered around strong values of dignity, integrity, respect, and honor, Affirmative Athletics helps mold these young children into responsible and emotionally stable young adults. Find out how you can help. Visit us at www.affirmativeathletics.org. Affirmative Athletics, affirming minds, bodies, and souls of today's youth.
Licensed psychotherapist Kathy DeBono now offers her services through private sessions over secure online video chat or voice-only phone calls if you prefer. You can even choose to use instant messenger or email exchange. Go to KathyIsIn.com to learn more about licensed psychotherapist Kathy DeBono and how she and her unique brand of intuitive counseling can help you achieve the change you want to see in your life. KathyIsIn.com.
Blogspot.com is a topic-oriented language translation service. Our translators are highly qualified and experienced in a wide variety of subjects, including legal, medical, technical, financial, and more. Languages include English, Spanish, Italian, French, and many others. If you can't find the language you're looking for, please contact us. We offer personalized quotes tailored to your needs and budget. Go to blogspot.com and get your free quote today. That's BLAGASPOT.com. Blogspot. We're up to interpretations.
Welcome back. We are here with metaphysical and spiritual counselor Vipin Mehta, who is giving us his insights on schizophrenia through a metaphysical perspective. Vipin, please continue.
Okay. Now, that is the fourth branch of modality. The fifth is the homeopathic, Ayurvedic, and naturopathy. Allopathy deals with the medicines, or we call the medicines or drugs that is created by human being, human chemistry. While the homeopathic, Ayurvedic, and naturopathy mostly deal with the plant kingdom. So those allopathy or the modern medicine has a side effect. And according to homeopathic, Ayurvedic, and naturopathy, because they deal with the mother nature created, and that is a less side effect or probably no side effect. There is a major difference with that. I will not go more detail on homeopathy, naturopathy, and that is the fifth modality. Then comes the metaphysical healing, which I call mind over matter. Now we know the two layers. One is a physical human being, and it's let's call spiritual anatomy of human being. First is a physical body. Why you need physical body to express and reflect what is in the state of mind. Then you need the life energy body. So you have the ability, the life goes on. And then through the, because since life goes on, the mind, you can express what is running in your conscious mind, subconscious mind, and unconscious mind. And that is the part of the metaphysics. Because mind is beyond space-time dimension. The brain is a part of physics, which we discussed last time. In mind over matter, where in the allopathy, they give the medicine. And there are so many medicine, if you go research and if you go to psychiatry, they play around with so much medicine. So metaphysical, we don't give medicine, but we give meditation. Yes. Now in meditation, mind over matter, the person, suppose I'm a schizophrenic, Vipin is a schizophrenic. Government, I recognize my personality and split of mind. And I'm sometimes behaving this way, and sometimes I feel depressed, and sometimes full of anxiety. And that creates my different behavioral pattern. Moment I recognize, suppose I go to psychiatry. I give a practical example. Then psychiatry recognizes you have a schizophrenia. Moment I recognize and it confirmed by psychiatry, I have two choices. One, I give it my power to psychiatrists and the physicians and medical science or allopathy. And they dictate me how I can heal. I give my power to them to heal me.
Yes.
In metaphysical healing is opposite of it. I recognize I created that illness of schizophrenia. And I'm the first step of the healing myself, metaphysical healing, I recognize. I created and I accept it, I'm schizophrenic. That is the difficulty. For now, psychiatry says, medical science says, I accept it. The second step is very difficult step. I acknowledge that I created the reality in my life to learn certain lesson, and I'm taking the responsibility. And suppose I'm in the first stage of schizophrenia. Moment I take the responsibility, my so many doors are open. And then I start taking responsibility. More you take responsibility, more secrets will be revealed to you. Then you can start making research, allopathic research, energy healing research, homeopathic healing, homeopathic, Ayurvedic, naturopathy. And same time, you sit in your driver seat of your life car. You have an automobile with your life automobile, and you are sitting driver seat. And psychiatrist sitting in the back seat or in the passenger seat, other people are sitting and they become a co-creator and you become a creator of your own life. When you take your own power, and metaphysical healing, who is the greatest healer? Yourself. In my case, I am the greatest healer. And I go through meditation, make a decision, choice and decision. In my conscious mind, subconscious mind, unconscious mind, I can heal myself. Moment you make the decision, and suddenly these things start moving in right direction because you start expanding your consciousness. When you make a choice and decision, I want to heal, so you create the expansion of a consciousness making any decision. I'm not neglecting allopathy. I'm responding. I'm respecting them. Take the best out of it. I'm not neglecting the balancing area, acupuncture, acupressure. I'm not neglecting homeopathy on that. I take the, they become my co-creator, they are my co-pilot. I am the pilot of my own aeroplane, of my life. That's why I created my conscious healing mantra. In sacred journey coming home, I create my own illness and I am responsible for that. But I am master of my self-healing so I can grow and evolve throughout my life. And life is my pilgrimage. Because I'm passing from one life to I keep going, growing and evolving it.
Vipin, may I ask you a question?
Definitely.
Yeah. What would you say to someone who wants to understand more about how they created their own illness? How, because when we're talking about schizophrenia, in this case, I was, you know, it was brought up in my mind by a child, a baby, really, who started having these symptoms. How would you talk about schizophrenia being created by the person, whether it's an onset in a young adult life this, or a child?
I like your question because this applies to the adult person who is living in day-to-day life. For the children, you don't talk about that you created. On yes. the contrary, you start giving a love and respect and caring.
Yes.
Moment you start giving for love, caring and respect, because schizophrenia, the two major item happens is created by anxiety or by depression. In depression, I'm talking young adults who are mature, qualified, educated people. Because depression comes out of you lose the self-esteem.
Uh-huh.
And anxiety creates because you had so many dreams and so many things to be accomplished and you cannot be able to catch up with that. What will happen? I got a right paper in front of me that is called the Escaping the Suffocating Web of Anxiety. Mm-hmm. And what are these? I'm taking the major emotions. So how to release the anxiety? Okay. And there is so many guided meditations. First, he has to recognize this is the emotion I'm facing it. Then you first, because America, I would say, are not trained to go because they never made exploration in inner world. We send the man on the moon and Mars and everything. But when the inner world, they couldn't make any exploration. They made it, didn't make any more progress. That's why we are facing the war right now. We are facing the chaotic situation of depressions and as well economic, political chaos. Because now that was the metaphysics is the one going in the inner world, inner mind. And that first step is to go inner mind. And each individual has the ability to investigate and inquire. And that requires the courage to go confronting himself. That is the metaphysic we discussed last time. The metaphysics requires the basic requirement is the courage and vulnerability. The at least person who recognizes the first step and he has the ability to do heal. So I would prefer him to give them a power. You are the healer and we are a co-creator. We are more than happy to help you out. But you make the choice and decision in your mind. But here in modern science and allopathic science, I know why they are doing it. They never tell anybody you have that power hidden within you. You explore that power, discover that power, and we are here to help you to guide. You know why they don't tell. I don't want to mention in this discussion. Because they do not encourage any patient. You have a power to heal yourself. Because the moment you explore your power and you create your belief, and I can heal myself, that becomes part of a subconscious mind, it becomes a belief. Mm-hmm. And we discussed last time, your belief is nothing but the pattern of opinions. And that pattern of opinion is played again and again, turns into conviction. Mm-hmm. When I can have a conviction, I can heal myself, the automatic my mindset change. Now, how the mindset change? Now, I give the secret. How the mind and the brain work together.
Yes.
The secret is that when mind changes, you change the anxiety release, and then immediately it goes to, because there is a waiting chamber. Let me go a little bit of brain. I want to get details. That is called thalamus, and below thalamus, there is a hypothalamus in limbic brain.
Uh-huh.
And the hypothalamus is the waiting, there where the waiting happens with the human emotions and the hypothalamus. Hypothalamus is also known as, I used to call it the king of endocrine system, but now I've got a new word. He's the orchestra conductor of endocrine system.
Yeah.
And he orders the pituitary gland, and pituitary gland orders the pancreas. Suppose I got the diabetes problem, because anxiety is the root cause of creating a diabetes. If I have anger suppressed, and he goes to the hypothalamus, and then they secrete so many hormones, and they create the tumor. That is the root cause of cancer, lies in the suppressed anger, lying for so many years over there. So hypothalamus, where also is not only the king of endocrine system, not only is orchestra conductor of endocrine system, is also part of autonomic nervous system. And that autonomic nervous system connects with autonomic immune system. So there where the medical science fails, the metaphysician starts, where medical science stops, where the metaphysics comes in the picture.
Yeah.
You got so many cells, right lobe and left lobe and frontal lobe and temporal lobe and everything, but you can change the route, because mind has that ability to suppose certain blockade is happening, certain neural pattern.
So if it then
mind has the ability to change the neural pattern. Okay?
Vipin, is it your opinion that we only have less than a minute left, but is it your opinion that sufferers of schizophrenia can incorporate meditation and metaphysics to help heal themselves from the condition?
Yeah. In summary, I can say, give him a power. That person who wants to heal, he has a power. We don't mind telepathy and everything, and start working on meditation and change the belief system.
Yes. Yes, Vipin, thank you so much for being with us. We only have about 30 seconds left. We so appreciate your points of view. I hope you'll join us again in the future. And Jill and I will be right back to sort of sum up our thoughts on what Vipin had to say about metaphysics and schizophrenia. And hopefully we'll lighten the mood a little bit, too.
Legacy
Chatbot.com is a topic-oriented language translation service. Our translators are highly qualified and experienced in a wide variety of subjects, including legal, medical, technical, financial, and more. Languages include English, Spanish, Italian, French, and many others. If you can't find the language you're looking for, please contact us. We offer personalized quotes tailored to your needs and budget. Go to Blagaspot.com and get your free quote today. That's Blagaspot.com. Blagaspot. We're up to interpretations.
Licensed psychotherapist Kathy DeBono now offers her services through private sessions over secure online video chat or voice-only phone calls if you prefer. You can even choose to use instant messenger or email exchange. Go to KathyIsIn.com to learn more about licensed psychotherapist Kathy DeBono and how she and her unique brand of intuitive counseling can help you achieve the change you want to see in your life. KathyIsIn.com.
Affirmative Athletics, a Freedom Assembly project, is a nonprofit sports and literacy program that positively affirms incarcerated children. By creating a culture centered around strong values of dignity, integrity, respect, and honor, Affirmative Athletics helps mold these young children into responsible and emotionally stable young adults. Find out how you can help. Visit us at www.affirmativeathletics.org. Affirmative Athletics, affirming minds, bodies, and souls of today's youth.
I don't know how I didn't notice this before, but look, can you see that?
Yes.
My ear pad is completely missing on my earphones. Good Lord, it's like I just showed up in the studio. Hello, everybody. Well, there goes Vipin Mata. He's a fascinating guy.
I know. As he speaks, we just kind of sit and I have to like focus while I take it out all in.
Yeah. He's the kind of guy you want to go back and re-listen and slow it down if you need to. And, try on his ideas. I'd be really curious. This is the part of the story I didn't get to before where I said there was a weird tie-in with an LA talk radio host and this documentary. So I'm going back and I rewatched this documentary about this little girl, Jani, who's been diagnosed with schizophrenia as a child, and her little brother, what this family is going through and how hard they're working to stay together. And on the screen comes her name and that she's an internet radio host. So I was like, oh, I wonder where her show is, what her show is. I look it up. She's on LA Talk Radio, for crying out loud.
Bipolar
Nation. A show called Bipolar Nation every Sunday. Mm-hmm. And
Susan Schofield. Schofield, yeah.
So I hit her up with an email and told her we were talking about this and that I would love to have her and possibly her and her husband or her and the kids mm-hmm. on the show at some point to talk to them about what they've been going through. And her therapy, and she's a rare story, I think, where a child has a disease, a psychotic disease like this, and the family adapts to it rather than putting the child in an inpatient care, resident care for the rest of their life.
If you read their story, you don't know how they did this because the little girl has had many psychotic episodes. She's been hospitalized. She's had suicide attempts. I mean, we're talking about a girl who's just 9 years old. And like physically,
it started when she was a baby. And what's really interesting is if you go back and watch this, and I'm going to ask Susan about this too, when we are lucky enough to have her on the show, when Jani was born and she's lying in the hospital and they put the infant in her arms and the baby opens her eyes and looks at her, Susan says, do her eyes look strange? Does she look a little unfocused or something? And mm-hmm. the nurse says, oh, she's an infant. They all look like that. But then you cut back to Susan's interview and she goes, why did I say that?
It just was different.
It was different than any baby she'd ever looked at before. I mean, the moment the baby was born and opened its eyes and looked at its mom, the mom was like, huh.
Yeah, and when you watch this documentary and you see when Jani goes into one of her states, you can see it. You can see her physically change. She looks off into the distance and
she's
you can
in a
tell.
State about 90% of the time.
Right.
So this is not a child who's having a psychotic break like every 3 months or something. This is almost all the time.
Yeah.
And the family has adapted to it to keep her in the family. They've incorporated family therapy and they have wrapped themselves around this child. So I'm really curious to see what the course of her life will take and how that affects the disease differently than when we just have to put folks in a resident hospital facility because we don't have the means to take care of them.
Well, and you know, I just spent some time in downtown LA because I was shooting a project, and downtown Los Angeles has, I think, one of the largest homeless populations in the United States. And you can just tell Most of those people, I would say probably 99% of them, are either addicted to drugs, alcoholics, or have some sort of mental issue.
Or both.
Or both, because as it turns out, most schizophrenics have a substance abuse issue, which is understandable, given that they're trying to navigate the world.
There's a lot of secondary issues that come with it. Depression, anxiety, OCD is like hand in hand with schizophrenia.
Yeah, so most people who are schizophrenic, their family just can't deal with them anymore. And I watched a documentary a few years ago that I remembered where it was a young man, and the family just gave up. I mean, they loved him so much, but he wouldn't stay on his medication. He would have psychotic breaks. He would physically attack people. He was in and out of prison.
And that's what was happening with Jenny when her brother was born. She was
attacking
very
him.
Violent, and they were very afraid for him. And until she could learn who he was and how to be with him, they got these two separate apartments and lived in the same building. And then the parents would just separate at night because they couldn't leave the kids unattended for even a second.
Right. And I think even they were afraid of her at moments.
At times. And as she gets older, this is going to be interesting. And I hope TLC, I hope the family's up for it. And I also hope that TLC will follow along with them, because I think it's really important that the rest of the world have an inside view of what this disease is. Now, this was the first time I watched anybody treating schizophrenia like a coming out party. You know, they were taking the child to parties with other schizophrenic kids so they can meet each other and talk about what they go through. And it was so cute. Like, you cut to a scene where Jenny looks at the other girl, and this other girl goes, "I have schizophrenia too." And Jenny goes, "Yeah, I hate you." And the girl smiles at her and she goes, "You probably hate me too." And the girl goes, "Yeah." And then they just giggle and start playing on the, I mean, there was some kind of shared reality there for a moment that nobody else would understand.
No, I watched it and I was so sad for this little girl. Again, it's the Perspective Channel for a reason for me, because I'm like, wow, I had a really bad day, but geez, I don't have schizophrenia. You know, life could be so much worse and so much more difficult. And a lot of these people don't have help from their family and they end up homeless. Yeah, they end up in jail.
Incredible. This film is absolutely incredible. I'd love to have them on the show. I'm going to set it up. So stay tuned and pay attention for when Susan Schofield will be here. And hopefully Jenny can come too. Maybe we can have her on the show. And, you know, obviously leave all that up to Susan.
Yeah.
But she and her husband, Michael, are phenomenal in this regard, and I think really are going to be champions for this illness, even if they do nothing further than the documentaries they've already done.
Yeah, they have a foundation, actually, to help raise money for families who have schizophrenic kids to help them in these situations, because insurance is expensive, medication is expensive, therapy is expensive. So
Well, I mean, what did you think of what Vipin was saying, that people create the illness and then they can cure the illness? That's where a lot of people are going to go,
Yeah, I think it's one of those things. I don't know enough about metaphysics to make that sort of judgment, but it makes sense. I mean, if you believe that disease of the mind and the body are all a creation of either nature or our own manifestations, yes. But it's also a really scary road to go down.
When he talks about metaphysics, mind over matter, meditation, I believe in these things wholeheartedly.
Yeah.
I wonder where their limits are. Now, a guy like him and a history like his and where he's from, maybe he has seen that there are no limits, and that if you just keep prevailing and growing, there are no limits.
But for the average human to get to that point where you can use meditation to
I use this with my clients. I've seen it do amazing things for depression, for anxiety, even for things like bipolar or personality disorders. I've seen it have huge, wonderful results. Because once our mind is in the wrong place, it then goes and generates all kinds of bad feelings and emotions and energy that just feeds into it. And when you learn how to separate that and manage that and control that on your own, it's really liberating. But in a case like schizophrenia, I wouldn't even know where to start.
We'll have to talk to Susan about that when she comes to visit.
Yeah.
But we're getting close to the end here. So I just wanted to let you guys know that we are thrilled to have Dougal Fraser. Really loud.
Psychic Duke Frazier
on the show
next week.
And we're going to talk about a little weight loss contest we didn't get to today that we're going to have with a couple friends of ours. We're really excited. We will be in Munich on July 13th. Please come if you're anywhere in Europe and can make it. And I think that's about it.
That's about it. Dougal will be here next week. He's a clairvoyant. He's been with us before. I want to ask him if he's ever thought he was hallucinating or how he knew the difference between that and being psychic. We will see you next time, you guys. Please go back and re-listen to this episode of Kathy Is In and the one last week and listen to Vipin Mata and wrap your mind around those metaphysics.
Hey, they made it through another one.
Double or nothing next week, Sue.
You're on.
listening to Kathy is In with Kathy DeBono.
You're listening to Kathy is In with psychotherapist Kathy DeBono. For more information or to book a private session with Kathy, go to kathyisin.com. Traditional therapy is out, but Kathy is in.
You're listening to Kathy is In, the Kathy DeBono Show.
Licensed psychotherapist and coming out specialist Kathy DeBono is now available to provide the counseling and coming out support that you need to take this vital and necessary step. Kathy now offers her services through private sessions over secure online video chat or voice-only phone calls if you prefer. You can even choose to use instant messenger or communicate through an email exchange. With Kathy's help, you will thoroughly examine your unique life circumstances and create a plan that is tailor-made for you. For more information, go to KathyIsIn.com.
Transformation, transformation, transformation talk radio. Transformation, transformation, transformation talk radio.
Stop. Get out of that car. Stop living your life in the passenger seat. Tune in to TransformationTalkRadio.com and let us help you drive.
We are living in a time of great challenges and greater opportunity for transformation. The good news is that public awareness of the need for change is also growing exponentially. More than ever, your transformative message is needed to empower millions across the globe.
Hi, I'm Dr. Pat, host of The Dr. Pat Show, and I'm excited about announcing an unprecedented opportunity for growth as we expand our broadcast by launching Transformation Talk Radio and the Transformation Network. Join me and a team of amazing people and host your own show on Transformation Talk Radio. Get ready to expand your horizons, tap into the best listeners anywhere, and join one of the most positive and expansive networks today.
Historically, there came a time when the boundary of water was transcended as man developed the boat, and the barriers of water became freeways. Join Dr. Pat as she launches this exciting venture. To host a show, call 1-800-930-2819 or email host at transformationtalkradio.com.